Yo, 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 Thought Warriors. What is up? Higher Learning is on. It is I, Van Lathan.
And it's me, Rachel Lindsay.
Rachel was a part of an event on Friday, guys.
Look, he couldn't wait to talk about it. Look at that smile. Go ahead, Van. Look at him.
On Friday, it was my birthday, and I did not know that Kalika and Rachel and others had conspired to throw me a surprise birthday party.
Yay!
And it was very, very, very special. You know,
it's like you have a very special woman in your life who put it all together. Yeah. And I loved it because y'all, Van and I were together, I don't know, sometime earlier last week. And you were just kind of talking, and I was just like, he has no idea. I'm like, what you doing for your birthday? You talking about apple fritters and stuff. And I'm like, he has no idea.
No apple fritters, by the way. That dream didn't come true. But yeah, it was a great time.
COVID friendly for everybody. Outside.
Not a ton of people. Everybody vaccinated. But I really do appreciate everybody that came by and stuff like that. I started off with good news because we got a lot of bad shit in the pod today. It's a stressful time. I feel physically tired from some of the stuff that's going on. As we speak right now, the closing arguments are being made. The closing arguments are over in the Derek Chauvin case. And, you know, there were some bombshell things that happened in terms of them going back. Well, it's not bombshell. That's probably too much.
But no, I'm only looking at you because I'm like, what? I was off and on watching it. So I was like, what did I miss?
No, it wasn't really bombshell. It's like the closing argument from the prosecutor said that it was actually a crazy line. It said that the defense said that George Floyd died because his heart was too big because he had cardiomyopathy. But George Floyd actually died because Derek Chauvin's heart was too small. Mm. Man, it's tough on a Monday. You know, it's just tough. All of this stuff is so tough. We're in the middle of just a lot of stuff, and it's tough, man. I feel drained. I feel drained, Big Rach. I feel drained.
No. It's wild because coming out of, you know, last year and everything that was going on and with COVID, there seemed to be no end in sight. And so here we are, 2021, these vaccines are becoming readily available. People are getting vaccinated. People are doing their part. And you're like, okay, I feel like I can see things, the light at the end of the tunnel. We're getting back to normal. But it's like, what is normal? Is normal having, 45, 47 mass shootings?
Yeah.
You know, since I don't even think it's since the beginning of the year. I think it's since March. Is this what the normal is? Is this what we're getting back to? Like, we were so reflective in 2020 and we were focusing on what was important and prioritizing the simpler things in life and really just valuing family and friends and health and time. And now as things are starting to open back up, it's like, what is this world? That's kind of the place that I feel like I am. Like, you just celebrated your birthday. My birthday's coming up. It feels almost weird to be celebrating in some sense. That's why it was nice to do your surprise birthday party, because the joy, I'm mad I didn't record it. Honestly, because you surprised us when you walked in. We weren't quite ready for you when you came around the corner. Your friends came from one end, the friends that were bringing you in, and then you popped up and it was like, oh, Van's here. But the joy, it was just nothing but joy on your face and surprise. And like that was a beautiful moment. And like, I'm happy I was there to celebrate that with you. But that was a nice break from what is currently happening. So yeah, it's tough. I always know it's tough too when we're trying to put down this rundown and you're like, we got to lighten it up.
Like, we're looking and it's just, everything is so crazy. I don't have the Van. I don't have it today. I don't have the, hey, ha, hoo, ha. Maybe I can get it, but I don't have it. It's difficult. I've been watching other stuff all morning. I've been watching, you know, drama surrounding the Joe Budden podcast. I've been watching people talk about basketball and I've been trying to get away from it, but I can't. It's hard. People DMing me, the vaccine. Don't DM me no vaccine shit. I don't want to talk about it. The people just DMing, hey, like all of this stuff going on, is there's fear mongering happening. It's just weird. It's weird. Mm. The whole thing is definitely weird.
I got my first shot this weekend. So
you did.
You know, that was a positive. My arm was really, really sore Saturday. But other than that, I was fine.
Right. Pfizer.
Really, really sore. Pfizer. Got the Pfizer. Cool. And I gotta say, I don't care what people are DMing you, I felt really good. I just felt like a little lighter. And I'm not done yet. I still have to go back. But it just, like, I looked around the room and, you know, you got to wait like 15 minutes before you can leave. And people just seem to be happy to be getting the vaccine. Just feel like you're a little bit closer to feeling a little bit more comfortable. I don't know. It was like spirits were up. It was a free clinic that I went to. And right. Yeah, that's I'm dope. Happy I finally got it. Yeah.
That's dope. So like Rachel said, there have been 45 shootings in the last month, U.S. mass shootings, Kenosha, Wisconsin. On Sunday, 3 people were dead, 3 people wounded, 3 killed in Austin on Sunday. FedEx Ground facility in Indianapolis was hit, 8 people killed, wounded, several others this past Thursday night. So I'm not going to spend too much time on this because I don't have any answers. I don't have any answers. I don't know what to say. I don't have any answers, and I don't have any analysis that's going to make anything change here. Everybody is so dug in on this issue, whether it's guns, mental health, whatever it could possibly be. There's just not much I can say or not much to be said about this.
You're right. But There's nothing to analyze because nothing is being done. But is this what we're just supposed to accept? Are we just supposed to be like, it is what it is? We live in a country where there is not going to be any stricter gun regulation or legislation. And this is just the country we live in. It happens. If it happens, it happens. That's kind of how Congress is treating it. I mean, like, I don't know.
To be honest with you, the answer is yes. And it's not just because of the gun legislation. It's because of a perfect storm of American cultural dysfunction. This is it's not just the country's addiction to weapons and addiction to guns. We have millions and millions of guns, way more than any other nation, right? It's that plus a history of American violence, a violent society that Americans live in. Mm-hmm. That plus a fundamental misunderstanding of what public safety is and of what the building blocks of a safe culture are. That plus a general disregard for mental health in the country that's existed for a long time. Now that's changing every day, but some of the other things aren't. And because of this confluence of very American problems, this is a symptom of who we are, and it's here to stay. It's here to stay. The only thing I can do about it is, when I go into a restaurant, sit with my back to the door. When I go into a movie theater, sit on the aisle closest to an exit, and be hypervigilant about it, because if you're not, nobody else will be for you. No one cares.
Do you think that that's the mentality that Congress has? Do you think they have the mentality that it's like, we're never going to get to a place where we can get the 60 votes that we need in the Senate? We're never going to like kill the filibuster. This is just the country we live in. We're never going to come to a common ground where we can figure this thing out or do something to help resolve the issue that is gun legislation in this country, gun control. Do you think that they're just like, it's never going to happen, so we're just going to talk about something else? That's kind of how I feel.
I honestly don't think Congress even cares.
That's what I'm, but that's what I mean.
Right.
That's what I mean. Exactly.
I think Congress cares about delivering one-liners to constituents, but I think not just Congress, but in so many different ways, people are so far removed from the concerns of the average American at this point that I really don't think that there's any way for them to relate to this. This is a shocking aspect of American culture, and there seems to be more outrage than there is progress. No one's doing anything to change it. We're just waiting for the next thing to happen.
I think the only way that they can relate to it is if a number of them, not one, a number of them are in some way impacted by it. That's the only way it's going to change.
Well, I don't think that's true.
But there's nothing that's even close to them at ever happening.
Yes, it is. January 6th.
No.
January 6th, insurrectionists took over where they do government, and people made excuses for them. Politics means more to them than any of these other things or dangers that Americans have to face.
I would say that, but I'm saying like it actually has to. I'm talking like they actually have to be impacted with their lives.
It happened.
Not a threat. Not it getting close enough to them where they like family members. And I'm not
Rachel,
saying I wish.
I'm just, a dude rolled up to a softball game and shot Steve Scalise.
I said a number of people. I agree with you. I'm saying I know what you mean by January 6th. I know what you mean by the softball game. I'm just saying that's the only way I could see something where they actually do something, which is terrible, which is sad.
Yeah. So I don't know. You know, I don't know. And then it's like normally all the other stuff that we have to distract ourselves with, like we don't have it. You know, it's just tough. Tough sledding right now.
Is that what we want? Is that what we want? Because here's the thing. If Congress doesn't care and then we're like, well, shit, Congress isn't going to do anything. So why should we care? Then we just live in a society where everybody's just like, well, forget about it. This is it. Like, we don't care. We just live it. We just live in a place where. You know, this is what happens each day. You don't know where you may be, but somebody might go off.
So this is my thing. You can run out of care. It happens all the time. I'm definitely not saying I don't care. I care very deeply. But I am saying that at a point, you can only care so much because all you can do after that is make sure that you're amplifying voices that have the wherewithal to do it every single day and to put the time in, because it's like you're like yelling into the abyss, into the void.
Right.
Like nothing's coming back. Like nobody seems to be moved by the fact that people are just going out to the grocery store and getting shot in the back of the head. So I really have no clue.
I know.
We're in a bad way, man. As like a whole deal, we're in a bad way. We're definitely in a bad way. Anyway. Well, Chris Cuomo, he made some headlines. Did you see this? Chris Cuomo? Chris Cuomo said on his show that police reform will come when white people's kids start getting killed. When white people's kids start getting killed, Chris Cuomo, it's been an interesting last couple of months for Cuomo. Because, you know, his brother getting in trouble maybe took a little bit of the sting out of his britches. You know what I mean? They've been coming at Cuomo a little bit. But this had him trending. It was a very pithy thing to say. Do you agree with him?
Well, and let's not also forget he said he was black on the inside, which kind of got people a little riled up as well this year.
I didn't see that. When did he say that?
You didn't even see that? On his show, he was like, because I'm black, you know, I'm black on the inside. And people were like, oh, Chris, you can't say that kind of stuff. Yeah, it was trending on
Twitter. Why can't you say it, though?
I think people think just in these day and times, it's offensive for you to say you're black on the inside as if being black is a character trait or so. Like, I know what he meant to say, but it's just,
we really, like that right now. We really split hairs on what we allow people to say that they are.
Correct.
They aren't.
Correct. I agree with you. I didn't think it was that big of a deal, but I also am not surprised that it blew up to what it is. But anyways, do I agree with Chris? I'm trying to figure out where the lie is. Where's the lie in what Chris said? It's very similar to talking when we were just talking about gun legislation, and I will say this. It's not just white children. It's going to have to be white children whose parents have power. Uh-huh. Or whose parents have money. Right. That's the only thing that I would add to it. It's got to be people's children where their parents can actually do something to make a difference, that have that type of influence, whether it's with money or it's congressional, that they can make some type of legislative change. I didn't understand why people were so upset with Chris Cuomo. I think if they were upset, then you obviously, it struck some type of nerve with you. You need to check your reasoning for that. I thought it was crazy how people were comparing it to Sandy Hook, because that had to do with gun legislation, and this has to do with police reform and police brutality. It's two separate issues. I think Chris is right, because what we're seeing with police brutality is black and brown people that are being affected by it disproportionately than white people. And he's basically saying, if you were impacted by it, then you would be making a change. Wow. He's right.
Yeah. Look, there's something deeper there as well. So, like, in The Dark Knight, you've seen The Dark Knight.
I've seen it. I'm excited because I can understand where you're going with this.
In The Dark Knight, the Joker talks about how predictable systemic dysfunction is, right? Societal dysfunction is. He says, well, look, if I told you, you know, he was going to blow up these fairies, terrorist action. Mm-hmm. The Joker was going to blow up the fairies. He's also going to kill the mayor, all of this stuff, right? And he goes, if I told you right now that a bunch of gangbangers would get killed on the south side of town, it wouldn't even make the papers. If I tell you right now that a soldier's going to die jumping on an IED over in Iraq, it's like, whatever. He was like, nobody bats an eye, because that's all part of a plan, right? Mm-hmm. When you kill one mayor or you do one little deal like this, well, this is not part of the plan. So because it's not part of the plan, it's a big deal. Mm-hmm. What people have to come to terms with is, like, black people dying violently is now and has always been a part of America's plan. Hmm. Now, you can say that that's not true, but evidence will prove you wrong. You can say that, hey, Van, that's not a thing. Well, the reality is that it is. Black people dying violently has been a part of the American plan for a long time, for as long as there's been in America, right?
Right.
So, because it's part of the plan, because it is what it is, right? When black people die violently or die prematurely, what people start asking is, okay, what did they do to make their determined fate come true?
Right.
So it doesn't matter if it wasn't supposed to happen, because at the end of the day, subconsciously, it was supposed to happen. It was. It was supposed to go some fucked up way. And when it does, you start looking for reasons why it did, but not reasons to figure out, reasons to make it make sense, because it all is supposed to, right? So it's not like we're figuring out what went wrong. What we're really figuring out is what went right. Okay, give you an example. So somebody tries to, in the case of Dante Wright, we're trying to figure out what went wrong in the case of Dante Wright. A lot of other people are saying they're trying to figure out why it was right, what went right. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Dante tried to run from the cops. Okay, now it makes sense that he died.
Right.
Like, Dante had a warrant. Okay, it makes sense that he died. Every single time it's the, okay, but don't do that. Okay, but don't resist arrest. Okay, but don't do that. Okay, but don't do that. Meanwhile, we've all done it. We've seen it. We've been beat to death with it. I could show you dozens of other videos of white people resisting arrest, driving away from the police, doing all kinds of things, and they're not getting shot up. Because that right there is not a part of the plan. And so what Chris Cuomo is saying, I mean, sure, for a cable news host at the end of the day to say something pithy and get people going, sure, it's true. But it's almost something that's not even worth saying because that ain't never going to happen. Like it's really something only that will only trigger people. It's only really said for shock value because that's not where we are. We're not in that realm. And saying that is going to get a lot of attention for him. I actually didn't appreciate it.
Why?
Because, like, who is that for? Yeah, we know that it would be different. Are you trying to give a sobering reminder to the Americans that are doing somersaults to make all of these things make sense? It's like, are you trying to rile us up and get emotion out of us and remind us of something? To me, there are different conversations to have around it.
I think you're giving people way too much credit. It's not that I'm giving Cuomo a hand clap for saying something that maybe other people are too afraid to say, but I think you're giving people too much credit as like, well, duh, we know that's the case. Because look at what happened last year. People were acting like racism started in 2020. Wait, what? I have privilege? Wait, what? This has been happening? As if people haven't died in the same way at the hands of the police, as if we haven't seen it on video before, as we haven't seen lynchings in daylight. This stuff has been happening. So I think what Chris Cuomo was saying, him saying it, which it's not that I appreciated it, but I didn't dislike that he said it, is that some people don't get it. You get it. I get it. Black people get it. Brown people get it. I think people of color get it. But sometimes for white people, you really got to break it down in a sense where it's like, oh, yeah, well, I never thought of it that way, because they don't have to think of it that way. They never do. For us, we have no choice. You live it every single day. But for them, if you live a life where none of this impacts you and you're not affected by it, then I guarantee you, they truly don't think, if this happened to my children, how would I act differently? I'm telling you, they don't.
Yeah. Well, maybe Chris Cuomo's words will make them consider our humanity.
Maybe, I would hope so too.
I just don't think. I think the dehumanization of Black people, poor people, gay people, women, I think it's part of the American plan. And when we talk about remaking America, it's about making a new plan. It's like, it's really the only option left, man. It's really the only option left. I know it doesn't feel that way, but I just want you to take a second and look around you. Just for a moment, just look around you. Look in every single way. The defense budget is going up by 2% this year. Why? Why? Even for all of the whatever we love about Joe Biden and the left and all of that, why would the defense budget go up by 2%? Like, why? Decades ago, presidents and leaders warned about the dangers of the military-industrial complex. Economists, they warned about the effects of imaginary money on American industry. They warned, and now it's coming true. I urge people to be aware of the situation that we're in. We came out of a once in a lifetime public health crisis, and we're trying to come back from it. And in trying to come back from it, you can look at the country and see the cracks in the walls of Americana. And if that doesn't motivate you to try to fix some, I don't know what will. But it's like, don't nothing work right. Like, you don't, nothing work right, and then you can't even go to the fucking mall. Like, nothing works right, right? Nothing right. works right. Foreign or domestic, we're swimming upstream. Then when you go to the movies to try to get your mind off of it, you get double tapped. It's like, but once again, the only thing I can do is land a hammock and look at the sun and play with Bozeman, because like it, it's like, what the?
I get you. But if we are going to, you're right. We need a new plan. It needs to start over. It needs to, because of what we always talk about, how this country was built on, how it's existed for so many years. If the system is designed this way, the only way the system can be changed is if you stop it and you completely start over again. But I will say, with a Chris Cuomo, when you talk about, I know you and I have differing opinions when it comes to allies, but if it starts with a conversation, if it starts with people recognizing how they are, then you need more people to speak up and then act on words like what Chris Cuomo is saying. That's what I'll say.
How do they act on them? Tell me what you would do. Tell me.
Well, I mean, you got to have power to be able to make a change in the system, right? Right. So all you can do is, going back to what you said earlier in this conversation, all you can hope to do is to put the people in power, the right people in power, who will make a change, who will make a difference. That's all you can do. But right. if you don't even recognize that there's an issue, if you can't even see the problem, then you can't even be fighting to put a person in place who can try to fix the problem. So I feel like that's why I'm not going to completely dismiss what Chris Cuomo said, because it does have, hopefully, I guess maybe I'm just being a little hopeful, some type of impact. At least he said it. Nobody else is saying it.
Yeah, I guess we're talking about it. And I suppose that matters. Oh, I'm so dour today. Oh, you know what? I did learn something interesting.
What did you learn?
I learned something happened that was very amazing to me.
Oh, this is good news. What?
This is good news. So I wonder about names, right? So
what do you mean?
So like when I met like a old dude a couple of days ago. He was like 85 or 86.
How do you run into these people?
I met him. I talk to people, you know. I interact. I try to change the plan on a daily, and it does nothing but smack me back in the face. I've been avoiding my sick white supremacist neighbor. He actually tried to stop me. It was very sad. I was walking Bozeman yesterday, and he actually picked up a slow trot trying to come to me. You know, he has a bad heart and bad lungs, so he was.
And what
really
did you run?
I got away from him. I don't know what to say. I don't want to deal with it every single time in my life, and just I don't want to do it. But I met an old guy. And his name was Jason. Okay, and I thought to myself, that's not a name for an old dude. Like, it's not, you're 85. Damn. Like, you're too old to be named Jason.
So Jason's have an expiration date?
Yeah, you should start going by something else.
You could only make it to 50 and be a Jason? What happens here?
55 or 60 is like the thing. Jason is like a young guy's name. Jason. It is like a young dude's name. And I was thinking about this because, you know, maybe because I think about older guys that I know who they are. It's like Baxter, or maybe you get to a point and what if his name is like Jason Tom, right? Jason Tom McGillicuddy or whatever
his
name
might be. That's a terrible name.
Jason Tom. So at some point you stop going by Jason, you go by JT is what I would say. Because JT is an older guy's name.
So are you going to change your name?
No, because it's not, my name is good for my, I have a versatile name. It's good
you
for
realize
young,
this
good
is
for old.
This is an opinion, right?
It is.
So Jason might not feel that way.
Okay. But I know somebody who does feel that way.
Who?
Somebody who works on this show, Trudy. I'll tell you why. Because I learned something about Trudy. Trudy was sending out the topics and sending stuff around.
You didn't know her real name?
That Trudy's actual name is Gertrude.
How are you just figuring this out?
I did not know this. Trudy's actual name is Gertrude. So because Trudy's real name is Gertrude, what Trudy is going to do is she is going to go by Trudy till about 50. And then after she's 50, she is going to seamlessly transition into Gertrude. And that makes a lot of sense. Because I always wonder, like, who is naming their kids these names in the years of 1997, 95, 96? Like, who's naming their kids?
It could be a family name.
Esther. Trudy, pop in.
How do you know that she might be named after someone?
I was waiting for this. I am crying because do you realize? I wonder at what point they're going to find out. They're going to find out that
I knew it my was name Gertrude. Is Gertrude.
Gertrude I Gelsen. Am crying.
Yeah.
Is it a family name?
I asked my mom that. Yeah, I'm named after my grandma.
There you go.
That's amazing. And your grandmother went by Gertrude or Trudy?
She goes by Gertie.
She goes by
Gertie.
By Gertie.
Ooh, see what I'm talking about?
I'm not going to lie, Trudy.
Gertie, that's that nice old shit. That's a casserole maker right there.
Listen, it does make sense when you put it in the Gertrude space.
Jason, yeah, it does.
Not Brian, so not much. Casserole. Not,
Jason, no.
Jason's Gertrude, a young yes. man's name. I'm telling you, Jason, a nice name for an older guy is like Bill. Bill's a nice old guy's name. Jack. Jason is like, it's Jason. Jason, you know what I mean?
Well, we've got Donnie on the podcast today.
Donnie Beecham. Shout out to Donnie.
At some point, will he let go of Donnie and be Donald? Don? Yes. Don's actually an older person's name.
You can't be Donnie. You can't be Donnie at like 70. It's like, you can't be Donnie. There's no more Donnie. All right. You know, Donnie's going to go by Donald, Don.
Don, you know, actually works perfect.
Or even more so, DB.
And I'm mad I'm agreeing with this.
It's true because it's true. Donnie, is this names. True? What have you, Donnie, have you decided on age that you're going to start going to Donald?
Well, see, my name is Donnie on my birth certificate, and I'm a junior, and my dad is like 59 right now, and he goes as Donnie. Yeah, DJ. But I feel like DJ doesn't fit an older guy. I don't know. I feel like Don, or I'll write out Donnie. I'll be an old man Donnie.
What's your middle name?
Glenn. G-L-Y-N-N.
Okay, Glenn's an old name.
There you go. Donnie, you got it. You got it now, Donnie.
Yeah, you're right.
Donnie, you got it.
Yep.
Glenn.
I appreciate it.
Hey, they call me Glenn. See, we figured it out. Let's take a break. All right. This is interesting. We get to have a man versus woman debate here. You like this? Courtesy of the game. Shout out to Game. Shout out to Chuck Taylor, homie of mine. He tweeted something and it caught fire in the Twittersphere. Okay. Well, this is the tweet. I'll ask you right here. Game was going in on guys who don't pay for their woman's stuff. He said, why she gotta pay half the rent? She giving you half the blank or something? Niggas kill me. Since the beginning of time, real men have always taken care of, shelter, providing, and protecting. If you ain't got it, go get it. If you're lucky enough to land an independent woman who works her ass off and still comes home to cook, clean, and take care of kids and go crazy sexually, let her stack what she make in case y'all need it one day and still handle everything as a man. My woman's not paying for anything. I feel good carrying that load. The term, I got it, baby, don't worry about it, makes most women's soul smile, heart warm, and blank get more moist than perfect toil house cookies. But what do I know?
What do you know, gang?
Coming at Chuck.
Like, it bothers me that you're going to stereotype all women as if they are all exactly the same. Like, every woman wants to hear from her man, honey, I got this. And they just all of a sudden just want to like pull off their panties for you. And then the fact that he says, he's like, I'll pay it. Men should pay it. If the woman is cooking, cleaning, and going sexually crazy.
Right.
That's why he feels like he should take care of all the bills. This is the dumbest thing as a woman. And I don't know what the women were saying. I did not see that. I saw this, but I didn't see like what the vibe was with women. But to me, it's like, I don't want to be reduced to cooking, cleaning, and going crazy sexually just because my man can pay half the rent. Like, there's so many more things that you can do. And I would hope as women that we know that we don't just need a man to provide for us financially. Like, uh-huh. For me, I'm a woman that has my own. Mm-hmm. We are a family. You know what I mean? I'm married. We have our separate accounts. We got a joint account. We handle things together as a family. But my thing is, I need things from Brian that aren't financial. You know what I mean? That's why, otherwise I could be with any type of man. It's like, oh, let me just have a man that's going to provide for me. There's certain things that he can give me that I can't give myself, like right. from within. You know what right. I'm saying? So this yeah. is just like the most insipid conversation. It's just so stupid. So stupid. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what all women want. Women want a man to pay their bills. No. Not a woman who's got her own.
Okay. So let me tell you where I fall on this.
I'm gonna call Kalika.
Right. No. But let me tell you where I fall on this. So game is wrong. In what he's saying, because what he's essentially doing is he's making a relationship very transactional, right?
100%.
He's making it, hey, I take care of all of this, and you're worth it to this. You're worth it to me because you do all of these things, right? I couldn't care less about cooking and cleaning and any of that. I have a person to make my life better and to share with, okay? Mm-hmm. But I will say this.
Uh-oh.
One thing that is true is if you are a man and you cannot provide mm-hmm. for whatever reason, mm-hmm. that is still demonized in society. If you are a man, expectations for men as far as true. Being able to pull their weight and provide and make money and do all of that have not changed. For women, it's really a choice. Like you can be in a relationship and do all of these things, or you can be in a relationship and kind of chill. What I've seen recently is that, like, you know, and there is a situation even with the most sort of enlightened man where you go, okay, well, if it's my job to provide all of this stuff, if we have jobs, then what are the jobs? See, I don't think that there are any jobs. I don't think it's my job to provide all of these things. I think
that's
this is stuff
that you think that way.
This is stuff I will be doing for myself. So if we're together, why wouldn't I do it for you? All right. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm. if you do believe in jobs, for all the women that are listening to this and saying, hey, my man needs to be able to take care of the household. He needs to be a leader. He needs to be the head of the household. He needs to all be. My question then would become, well, then what's your job? Because if there are any jobs, then everybody has to have a job.
Yeah. I think that those women who say that would say, because see, to me, if you're going to stereotype or play into the stereotypes that are placed on men and women, if you're going to demand those things from a man, I think those same women would fall into what the game is saying, that would be cooking and cleaning and doing everything else to provide for their man if their man is providing that. I think that they would be fine with that. And I think that there are women that are okay with that. And I'm not knocking you. What I don't like is what the game is saying, that this is how it should be. Because he is playing into certain gender roles, and I'm not down with that.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't agree with gender roles, because I don't think gender roles work for either side. I think that a lot of men feel inadequate because a lot of guys aren't able to provide and do all of this stuff on their own. To be honest mm-hmm. with you, it's way fewer than you think there are, right?
Yeah.
That
yeah.
can do all of that stuff. Game yeah. happens to be one of them that can do all of that stuff and provide all of that stuff and be the sole breadwinner and take care of a family and do all of that. It's just not, things yeah. aren't the way they used. I mean, it used to be that America, we talked about this a little earlier, was a titan of industry. And so you could go and work at a car plant or go and work somewhere like that and take care of all of these people. But look, I will say, it does seem to be a situation now to where, especially in the Twitter spheres that I frequent, to where it's like the sweetie thing. Like, if he can't buy you a Birkin and throw him out to the feet.
That the didn't age well.
It didn't. What I'm saying is, if he's buying Birkins, what do you have to do?
And what is he expecting of you?
Yeah. Yes. Because it's got to be a two-way Birkin street in that sense.
Yeah. I just feel like successful relationships, there's a give and a take. Like, give and take here. There may be a day where your man can provide everything for you, and there may be a day where they can't. So it's like you just kind of give and take in a relationship, and you don't assign certain roles. Like, we do everything in our household. Like, we do everything. It's like back and forth. There's no like, it's your turn to do this and you got to do this. It's like you see what needs to be done and you do it.
You see what needs to be done and you do it. So do you don't believe in gender roles at all?
I feel like you're going to catch me in something.
No, I'm not. I'm not trying to catch you.
I'm trying to think. I do think that there are certain things where I would probably be guilty of. For example, I'll take out the trash.
Right.
But I'm not taking out the trash at night. You know what I mean? Okay. Like,
yeah.
I like, as a woman, I don't feel like I should be out at night by myself to go outside to take out the trash.
Right.
So maybe that's a gender role that I fall
into. Not really.
Okay. Like, okay.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think Brian is safer taking out the trash at night than you are?
I was about to say something. I'm like, I don't know if that sounds right. I don't know if he's safer, but this is where I'm saying I would probably play into a role.
Right. What else? Is there any other gender roles that you believe in? This is interesting. This is an interesting conversation because I think
would you want you wouldn't want Kalika to take the trash out at night.
Well, we have a trash chute. So she
lived in a place where like there wasn't a chute, right? Like you have to take the trash out to the street and put it in.
Right.
You wouldn't do it.
She walks the dog at night. She does. She walks the dog at night. You know?
By herself?
Yeah.
Like her and Bozeman. Around the street?
Yeah. She walks the dog at night. She said, hey, I'm going to take the dog out. It's like, you know what I'm saying? You know, we don't live in Fallujah. You know, it's relatively safe for her to walk the dog at night. So she walks the dog at night.
Okay.
What else?
I make Brian take the dog out at night.
Okay. See what I'm saying? Little Miss Game over here.
I'm sorry. No. I said that there are probably certain things. Could I do it? Absolutely. But I'm like, no, it's night. You take the dog out.
What about trivial things like the killing of bugs and stuff like that?
Nah, I kill a bug.
You'll kill a bug. You don't even care. Bug executioner.
Yeah.
Treat a bug just like you treat Chris Harrison. Get him right out of here.
I will stomp a bug. I'll kill it. I'll swat it. I don't know.
All of these things are, it's just, and by the way, you know what it really comes down to? What works for your relationship?
That's true.
Your relationship. I observed a relationship growing up that had strong gender roles, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not like these people were happy in these roles. Now, my dad would come home, he worked all day, and he would inflict pain upon us because he had to work his ass off. It's not like he was like, oh, he provided for his family, but it was not like he was in the hot sun. And my mother was a homemaker, but she had so much more inside of her. And I asked her not too long ago, I was like, Mom, if you had it to do over again, would you do anything differently? And she goes, yeah. I probably wouldn't have had any kids. And I'm like, yo. I love
this crystal.
Wow.
Without his, she didn't stutter when she said it either.
No, she goes, no, I probably wouldn't have had any kids. So when I look at that, I go, hey, man, the gender roles. And she loves being a mom. I guess she does. I don't know.
Oh, so please, your mom made homemade cookies for your birthday. She loves being a mom. She made homemade cookies.
I gained 4 pounds.
And they were delicious.
They were so
good.
She's
listening to this. I want her to know they were fantastic.
So good. I love you, Mama. Love you, Mama. So people have gone back into the past to accuse a particular show of racism. And it's America's Next Top Model. Now, if you're asking yourself, how the fuck could America's Next Top Model be racist when it's all around Tyra Banks? Well, that's the question that I was asking. I haven't watched America's Next Top Model literally since I was in college, when it was like really super popping and everybody was watching it.
Right.
We're talking about the Takara.
Eva.
Before Eva changed her name from LaRoe, whatever it is now, it was Pickford. Her name was Eva Pickford.
Yeah, Eva Marcel.
Now she's Eva Marcel, but it was Pickford at first. Mm-hmm. I thought that Pickford was cool. But so it happens. Even in the rundown, Trudy has this right. It goes, every few months, cringeworthy clips of America's Next Top Model surface on social media.
Have you seen this, though?
I've seen a couple of them. Are they racist, though?
Racist is a strong... They're problematic, right?
Right.
I mean, she definitely... Okay. Do you not remember when she had people dress up as different ethnicities, as different races for photographs? That's the problem. They were in blackface. It was cultural appropriation. Right. They were dressed in complete, like that. I remember watching that and being mortified.
Really? You thought that then? Because that's what the question I always ask is, were people up in arms about it then?
I remember being mortified because I was like, how was this okayed? How did Tyra okay this, knowing a history of blackface? And like, I don't even know if I truly could fault the models, even though they should have stood up and known it was wrong, but they probably were like, I don't know what else to do. I'm trying to stay in this competition. Not that I'm saying that that's right. It's just like, Tyra, was it really worth it for the episode? Really? Huh. Really, Tyra? And it does seem that she always, and I don't know if this is because she grew up in the industry and she knew firsthand that it was harder for Black women. And maybe that's why she's tended to be harder on the Black women on the show. But she was a lot more tough on the Black women than she was.
Was she?
The white. Yeah.
She was rooting for them? Remember when she was rooting for the
girl? I was rooting for you. We were all rooting for you.
Let me ask you a question. Sometimes I wonder in situations like that, if people are harder on the Black contestants because they want them to do better, or because of the crabs in the barrel mentality that has been implanted into us to where she feels like she sees herself more in them and she sees more competition in them.
Not in this case. Maybe if this was a different example, maybe that's why she and Naomi don't get along. Yeah. But in this situation, these women are not going to beat to top Tyra. But she was hard on them. I remember Danielle. Danielle ended up winning, but Danielle had a gap, like myself. And she told Danielle, you will never be a cover girl with teeth like that. And she was basically telling her she needed to get them fixed. Like, she was tough on them.
But that has nothing to do with race.
She was Black, and she's harder on the Black contestants is what people were saying. Outrageously harsh.
So she wouldn't have told that to a white contestant is what you're saying.
I think that's what people were saying. Yes, she did seem to be. But I do think that I bet if you asked Tyra, she would probably say she did it because it's going to be twice as hard for them in this industry. I really think that's what she would say. And I don't think that she's wrong for that.
I think she's wrong.
The blackface.
If it's going to be twice as hard, then be twice as nice to me. Don't be as bad as they're going to be.
So check this out. I understand what you're saying. Let's just say she's twice as nice and she gives them an unrealistic expectation of what this industry is about. And then they go out there and they fail because they're not prepared. Remember, these people they go to these auditions in malls. They have no modeling experience whatsoever.
Rachel, that's not going to happen. They're not gonna go out and fail, and then fail because, hey, Tyra Banks told me this was a lot easier than it actually is. That's not gonna happen. They're not gonna fail. They're not gonna fail because Tyra Banks wasn't hard enough on them. They're not going to goddamn World War II.
But I'm just saying, like when people are tougher on you, you develop a thick skin, so you don't get discouraged when people are hard on you because you're like, I'm used to it. I can well, work through it. Some people who are babies, they can't take it when people are harsh on them.
I know, but everybody's different. Some people develop a thick skin. Some people are mortally wounded. It just depends, right? Some people develop a thick skin. It's like, you know, my dad would be like, hey, I'm riding you to get ready. I'm riding you to get you ready. I'd be like, nigga, give me a hug. I'm like, what are you... Like, you get me ready. Give me a, I'm your son. You like, stop it. I don't want to be ready. Just give me a hug and tell me it's going to be okay. I'm your son. Crazy ass.
It made you tough, though. It made you tough.
I guess it did. I guess it did. Listen. He always threw it in my face too. He goes, I was right, by the way. Look at you. You're doing so well. Shut up.
Everybody is different. I think Tyra has, it should be noted that Tyra has, now that all these people are digging up all these clips from back in the day, she has come out and apologized for her behavior in a lot of these episodes. But I don't know. The question, I don't know if Tyra did it for ratings. I'm sure she did. I don't know if she did it to be tough on them because nobody gave her any shortcuts. I don't know. Point is that I will agree she was way more tough on the women of color.
When they gonna get Simon Cowell?
He was mean to everybody.
A jerk on American Idol.
To everybody though. To everybody.
That's right. You're saying that Tyra was just exclusively mean to the black girls.
Well, at least that's what the clips are showing. I don't remember everything.
Do we have to care about how can we live in a world where we have to care about mass shootings and America's Next Top Model in the same 1 hour space?
You should have said that before we brought the Tyra Banks.
No, I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about people in general. Who fucking cares about America's Next Top Model? Am I missing something? This is a big deal.
No. In the Twitter sphere, I guess it is.
I used to love Tyra Banks, man. I got kicked out of school one time, like I sent home from school because I brought the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. So I didn't even know
it was
wrong.
Is that bad? Yeah.
I didn't know. I never missed Craig. I had the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, and I was showing it to my friends. It was a swimsuit issue, and Miss Craig took the thing, and I was like, "Could I have my magazine back?" And she was like, "No, I'm like, I can't have the swimsuit issue back. It's the sports. I have a subscription to Sports Illustrated, and it is the swimsuit issue. Can I have the magazine back?" She was like, "No, look at that one girl." Like her girl, I think the girl's name was Ashley Johnson. She was a Sports Illustrated model at the time or something like that. She goes like, look, she's only got a string going up her butt. I'm like, it's a swimsuit. She's like, it's inappropriate for school. She ain't giving my magazine back. Eighth. I had to go and buy another one. I never forget that. I really felt played. Like I really
you got sent home or she just took your magazine?
She sent me home and then took the magazine as well. She sent me home.
You're still upset.
You know what I did? I played that off, by the way. So I didn't want my parents to know that I got sent home.
Uh-huh.
So I walked to my grandfather's house. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my grandfather, he was just happy to see me. So I walk to my grandfather's house. I'm in there with my grandfather. We in there watching the Mac back in the 70s. So we're in there, and my grandfather I never forget this day. My grandfather, we're watching the Mac, and then all of a sudden, my grandfather goes from telling me about the Mac to talking about H.R.A.P. Brown and the Black Panthers, right? Mm-hmm. And so by the time this talk is over, it's like 5. And I didn't call my mom and told her, hey, after school, I walked over to Papa's house. And she was like, oh, that is so nice of you. That is so amazing. You had time to spend time with your grandfather. Yeah, so I go, and I'm over there at Papa's house, and we're on the way home, and the school called.
You almost got away with it.
Almost got away with it. The school called. And you know what my dad did? He drove me to the grocery store and bought me another Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue because he said that it was only natural for me to be interested in women at this age. And it was unnatural for the school to try to take that away from me.
And you know what, Van? That was your hug. Nah, that day, that was your hug. I love that Papaw did not even realize you were supposed to be in school. Yeah, Piccadilly? Is this Piccadilly, Papaw?
Same dude. Same dude. I don't think her name was Ashley Johnson, by the way. I can't remember what her name was, but she was white, and she was because that was around the time that the models. This was right after the Kathy Ireland era. Mm-hmm. Where the models start to get a little bit voluptuous, you know what I'm saying? Start to get a little volup. Because all in the 90s, there was some volup.
Stop.
In the middle of the 90s, voluppy. You know what I'm saying? Then it went back. It's volup. Anyway, let's take a break. Did you watch the Jake Paul fight?
No. Absolutely not.
Why?
I had no desire to. I don't even know the difference between the Pauls. I know that they're brothers. I wasn't even sure if this was the same one from the Nate Robinson fight. I enjoyed the last one, not going to lie. But that was mainly, I tuned in for Mike Tyson, and Jake Paul just happened to be fighting before.
Right.
I had no desire to watch this. Did you?
I did watch it.
Did you have a good time? Okay, see?
Never again. Never.
I made that decision last time.
Never again.
But why? Why?
Myriad reasons.
Okay.
One reason is that I feel like a sucker. I'll tell you why. I have been in the gym with Drake. I've been in the gym with I've been in the gym with Jake. I've seen Jake spar. I've seen Jake work out. Mm-hmm. I've said this before. Jake can fight. Jake not fucking around. Jake and BJ, they in there. Jake is working. Like right now, if you ask me, Jake Paul is a boxer.
Okay.
He's in the gym working on technique. Phil can tell you, they are bringing in different guys for Jake Paul to spar with every single day. Pros, different guys. He's fighting guys.
Won't he actually fight somebody?
I'm not sure.
A
lot of the guys, I know a big heavyweight that he sparred with who I fought, the guy can really fight. So Jake is actually doing it. So the reason why I have no interest in watching these fights anymore is because the guys that they're putting Jake Paul up against, even Ben Askren, who is a UFC fighter and more of a grappler, they don't have any of this. They're not doing any of this. So it's going to be lambs to the slaughter. It's just the spectacle of it is the thing that they're selling. And I've seen it twice now. So because I've seen it twice, there's no reason for me to watch it again if he's not up against somebody who can actually beat him. This is a first round knockout. Also, this entire Triller thing was a fucking mess.
From the beginning to the end.
The whole thing was a mess. Two guys saved that night. Pete Davidson and Snoop Dogg. Pete Davidson, they had him like doing background coverage or something like that. He was doing, you know. So Pete Davidson was hysterical, and Snoop Dogg was on top of it, like as always. I saw that night the worst musical performance I have ever seen in my life.
Who was it?
Saweetie.
Really? And you're a fan.
I like Saweetie. I think Saweetie's cool. I think Saweetie is whatever. She was lip sync rapping out there on the Triller. It was one of the worst, listless, lifeless.
Did she have dancers?
Yeah, she had dancers. It made me feel worse about the human condition.
What?
Like, I watched Saweetie perform at Triller and I was like, are we worth it? As people, are we worth it? You know what I mean? Are we worth it? So I didn't dig it like at all. All right. You're watching it now?
I'm trying to see. What was it about her? I mean,
this is crazy. You're in the moment. It's one of the worst things I ever saw. Doja Cat was okay. They had Doja Cat. They had Major Lazer. They had Justin Bieber.
That's what Triller is to me. Performances. It's a concert. It's the music. It's not about, you know, like.
No.
Oh, I'm watching. Oh, no, it's bad.
No, it's, there's nothing going on. There's nothing. There was nothing to it. And I hated it. And I hated my. And here's the thing.
I'm so glad I didn't watch it. I feel like the smartest person in the world.
And I bought it. And it's like, I like things that make me feel better about me. I don't like things that make me feel worse about me. So when I'm watching something and I'm thinking, Van, how did they get you? Why on God's green earth, Van, did you order this?
You believe the hype.
We haven't even gotten to the worst part of it. Oscar De La Hoya. Oscar De La Hoya was terrible. Oscar, you were the most annoying person ever. This was the scale of annoying. Right here is Rudy Giuliani.
Rudy Giuliani?
Up here is Oscar De La Hoya calling the fight. Rudy Giuliani, I thought, was the most annoying person in the world. Doesn't even come close to Oscar De La Hoya, who looked like he was high on dope.
A lot of people were concerned about his condition. I don't think that you had to even look at him. I think you could have just closed your eyes and listened to what he was saying.
Did you hear him?
I heard him. I heard him say, well, he kept saying USSA. He kept saying USSR. He was saying both between the two. He was saying Adonis. He was like just shouting out random things. They would ask him a question about the fight and he would start talking about a completely different subject. I mean, like physically he was with us, mentally he was not. It was bad. Has he come out and said anything? Has he addressed his behavior that night?
He has not. He has not.
Have we done a check on him? Is he okay?
He might be. Or he might be on the third day of it. Normally the fourth day you come out of it. Good for Oscar. It was annoying. The reality is the entire thing was a debacle. And it's making a mockery of boxing. Not that I'm one of these purist guys. It's making a mockery of a sport that guys literally go in there and die for. Jake is free to box because Jake is actually working at his craft, right?
You gotta stop giving him all that. I'm sorry, Van. Stop.
Why?
You.
Jake Paul is a serious boxer.
Then he would fight seriously. Here's my thing. I hear you. You have seen something that I haven't with being at the same gym. You've seen him on multiple occasions, but you gotta stop calling him a serious fighter if he's not gonna seriously go in there and have a serious match. Matchup, Nate Robinson, now this other guy, if he wants to be taken seriously, then actually have a real fight. At the moment, he's for show. He's a display at this moment. And
who do you want Jake Paul to fight?
I don't know enough about the sport to name his Oscar De La Hoya.
Ooh.
Is that okay?
Ooh.
Could that work? Because Oscar De La Hoya says he's coming back. Mike Tyson inspired him. That was part of his rant that night.
Now, I do believe that In Shape De La Hoya will beat the trash out of Jake Paul, but that's a good one. How about Oscar De La Hoya versus Jake Paul? Because Oscar's what, near 50, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oscar's near 50. Jake is in his prime. Now, Oscar has decades of muscle memory over Jake, and there should be no reason that he loses to Jake Paul if he is in shape. I just wouldn't see that happening. But maybe, you never know. You never know. Jake Paul, 190 pounds. That's a good idea. Oscar De La Hoya versus Jake Paul.
Now, has Jake Paul been calling out Floyd? Is that him?
No, that was his brother.
Okay.
His brother was Logan Paul. His brother is Logan Paul. And he was going to fight Floyd Mayweather, but somehow that fell apart. Logan Paul's a big guy, but sometimes it fell apart. Anyway, it fell apart. That's a good idea. You came up with a good idea though.
Yeah, like we can't take you seriously when you're fighting people who don't fight, who don't box. You know what I mean?
Sad news over the weekend as well. This wasn't in the rundown, but Black Rob passed away.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't know Black Rob, you know the song Whoa. Don't like Whoa. It was a big hit. But Black Rob was on some of the biggest records. Not just Whoa, but other records. He was signed to Puff Daddy's Bad Boy label. And he was a big deal there in the late 90s, early 2000s. Just for the big hit that he had, but for his contributions on other records. And I also realized that on this podcast, we never said goodbye to DMX. We kind of knew what was going to happen that Thursday that we taped, but we never really said goodbye to DMX. So a lot of people online seem to be blaming Diddy for Black Rob's condition at the end of his life, saying that maybe Diddy should have done more to help him.
I know he was sick, but what was wrong?
He had kidneys.
Oh.
He had bad kidneys. You know, Black Rob had gone to prison for a while. And, you know, look, I said this before. As hip hop matures, America's going to get a front facing view at some of the health things that Black Americans are faced with, and some of the ways that, you know, our lives are affected by the environments in which some of us kind of grow up in. Do you feel like, I'll ask you this, you know, Puff obviously worked with Puff, have a lot of respect for Puff, but a lot of people are saying, hey, if a guy's doing that bad at the end of his life, Black Rob was on Instagram, you know, asking for money. Do you feel that having had a business relationship with somebody at one point, that you should look out for them, and if you have that much money, they should never want or need for anything?
That's tough. It's tough to put that on Diddy to, you know, I mean, if you're talking about just the people that were a part of Bad Boy, then it's not that big of a circle to reach out and help those. Especially, it's not that he's asking for money to pay his rent. He's asking for money to survive.
To survive, yeah.
So, I can understand both sides of it, but yeah, like if he had to go on social media and beg for that, where was Diddy in all of that? Where was Diddy?
Well, I'll say like this, you know.
I don't know their relationship either.
I don't know their relationship either, but for a lot of what I'm hearing right now is that Puff had tried to help Rob for a long time, but who knows? And I think for us, one thing that we have to do is we have to decide whether or not it's culture or business. We really do, because if it's culture, then we always got to look out for each other and protect each other. But if it's business, it might be different. And we also have to figure out if it's culture for some of us and business for others. You know what I mean? I think that's just very important. And everybody put it on Puff, but nobody knows what Puff did or what Puff and Black Rob's relationship was. And the reality is that now it doesn't do Puff any good to come out and really even talk about it. Because if he talks about it now, people are going to say he's clout chasing for a guy who's passed away. So we just jumped to so many conclusions.
Yeah, like I just also think it's wrong to tell people what they should be doing with their money. Like of course, where was Diddy in all of it? But at the same time, I don't feel comfortable telling him what he should have done to help, because we don't know. We don't know their relationship. But rest in peace.
Rest in peace, Black Rob, man. Rest in peace, Black Rob. We got to take better care of our legends. We do. We do. We got to take better care of our legends. So here's the deal. I was going to have a Van's very serious question of the week.
Okay.
But I'll be honest with you. With all the hubbub and stuff, I couldn't think of one.
I couldn't think
of a very serious question of the week to ask you today. I couldn't think of one. Yeah.
That's all right. It's a lot going on. I feel like, you know what kind of took the place of that? The game. That back and forth. But, we'll let that be the question of the week. No?
Yeah.
I feel like now you want to do one.
No, I'm thinking. Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Would you prefer to be married to a billionaire? Okay. Or make $5 million a year?
For how many years do I get to make this $5 million?
You just got a job where you make $5 million a year.
Did I sign a contract? Is it like a three years guarantee? I just need to know.
You got a contract.
I'm gonna ask this question.
You got a contract. Let's say.
Am I married to the billionaire? I know you're gonna hate when I do this. I'm married to the billionaire. Did I sign a prenup?
No, no prenup.
I'm gonna marry the billionaire.
No prenup with the billionaire, but you married him when he was already a billionaire.
But there's no prenup.
There's no prenup, but that doesn't mean that you get to take half of his money.
Depends which state I get married in.
Tell me, talk about it.
If I get married in a community property state, I'm taking half.
Wait a minute. So you mean to tell me that you can meet somebody when you already got $1 billion? They marry you and then...
No, there's an argument that can be made that it starts from... But I mean, let me put two years in. You're a billionaire. You got to be making... If you're not making $1 billion per year, you're rounding it up to it. You're close. Yeah, so let me stay married to you for 2 years. Take my money and bounce.
So you would rather be married to a billionaire than make $5 million a year.
My motto would be, my first marriage is for money and my second is for love.
Okay.
And that's that.
Well, that's Van's very serious question of the week. So there we go. Look, I'm going to go lay in the hammock.
Go play with Bozeman. Go look up. It's a beautiful day outside.
It was hot as hell yesterday.
Go meditate. Do you meditate? You should close your eyes and just meditate. Mm. Go do it in the hammock.
I should. You know what I mean? Tell me what I should do. You know, I do what I have to do. I should. You should meditate. You should meditate.
See what happens? I do. Y'all, I'm just trying to help Van. You see how he treats me?
Yeah. Dad, give me a hug. All right. Take the caps off, but do not stop learning. I am Van Lathan.
I'm Rachel Lindsay. Bye, guys.